Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, if that's good, in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, and it's one of the most complete pictures of the Lordship of Christ and what's going to happen at the very end of time. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So as believers, as Christians, as children of God, we come under the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, faith moves us to say with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, because we've believed in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. And that was God's stamp on Jesus as far as his lordship is concerned, as far as his identity is concerned. Proof positive that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God, the Lord of all, the King of all. That's Jesus Christ. Yeah. And so we come under his authority. We also come under the authority of the Word of God. The Word of God is truth, and this truth speaks into our lives. It shapes our very being. It shapes our wills. It shapes our actions. The Word of God is truth, and we come under its authority in our day-to-day lives. Now, that's offensive to the skeptics. That is offensive to those who want to live according to their own wishes, their own desires, their own plans, to those who sing the song, I did it my way. The fact that Jesus Christ is Lord is offensive to them. It's truth that steps on their toes. And it's no wonder that skeptics today are shouting so loudly and bringing up all kinds of things about Jesus and about the validity of the Word of God. Why? Because they do not want to come under the authority of Jesus or the authority of the Word of God. We see that all the time, don't we, Richard?
Yeah, we do. And the pain of it is we see it in the church from time to time. Now, at least a skeptic is being honest. I don't believe. Convince me. You know, talk about it. That conversation I can have, as negative as it might be, as uncomfortable as it might be, that's a far easier conversation to have because it's an honest conversation. And I don't believe what the skeptics are saying. I think there's plenty of demonstrated proof about Jesus and the Bible and every other critical issue of our time that speaks or is spoken to in Christianity. But when you see people who claim to believe and yet don't believe, that, I think, gives more ammunition to the skeptic than their pure disagreement. So many people, whether they claim to believe or not, are unwilling to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ and say, I am subordinate to him. I am subordinate to the gospel, to the Bible. That's a painful statement for so many people to make. I appreciate a skeptic who is actually honest about it.
Yes, indeed. And like I said, their skepticism, I think, kind of rises with their pride.
Yes.
They don't want to be under the authority
of anyone.
Now, that's deception to the max. I mean, Satan has blinded their eyes to see reality for what it really is. We are created beings. We're going to walk in dependence upon something. We're going to worship something. And so we create all of these man-made idols. We see them in the Old Testament in the form of gods with a little g, and how those other countries around Israel worshiped at the feet of those gods that they made up from their own imagination.
Yes.
And they don't see that they're under the authority, that they've lent power to those things that really have no power at all. Why? Because that's the very nature of man. We are dependent creatures. But they look at that and say, hey, we're totally free. We're totally independent.
Yeah.
And that's the lie that they have bought into. That's the deception that they are under. And one day they're going to see truth. And as the scripture says, every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're going to submit, but that means they're going to see him for who he is, and they're going to recognize there will be no more question about the identity of Christ. They will recognize him as Lord of all.
Well, Jesus is, of course, the first and foremost answer to all the tough questions that skeptics throw out. Everything in the Bible, of course, points to him. But as we've been saying, the person who is consumed with fear and uncertainty just can't see Jesus, at least not yet. And that's why a respectful answer is so very important. Those of you who support Basic Gospel are reaching people who are asking the right questions, people who have grown weary of empty answers and are hungry for truth. To answer those questions, J. Warner Wallace, an L.A. County detective, has written a book called Cold Case Christianity. We want to send you a copy. It'll help you provide answers for those who are skeptical of the gospel and who are sincerely seeking. To get your copy, and as our way of saying thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel, simply click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Donations can also be made through PayPal. And also at this number, 844-322-2742. That's the number to call for your questions. That's also a number that you can call to make your donation, 844-322-2742.
And call it right now.
I think this book is worth
getting. It is a valuable resource. I know there's many people out there that aren't sure of their faith. They know that Jesus is the answer, but they don't have a reasonable sense of why that's so. So this is a resource that will give you a rock-solid faith. So don't miss out on it. Go ahead and pick up that phone and call right now for your copy of Cold Case Christianity. Also, apologetics is just, quite frankly, intriguing.
Yeah.
It's one of the most fascinating subjects, and why people ask the questions that they do. What's really underneath those questions? What are they really getting at? How to examine the evidence, how to really look at what the Word of God says, and how to look at it through investigator's mind. And this book will help you do that. So it will give you a rock-solid faith. It will help you give reasonable answers to the skeptics in your life. So don't miss out on this great resource. It is one of the most popular books in the country today. And the reason it's so popular is because it's really scratching an itch within the Christian community. So get this book. Do it now. 844-322-2742 is the number to call.
Yes, indeed. This is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us for this edition, Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Chris in Fairfax, Virginia. Hi, Chris. You're on
the air,
my friend.
My question today is, what is God's solution to timidity when it comes to sharing the truth with others? I see myself as not too great when it comes to talking with people that I don't already know very well. And I think to myself, well, I guess God must not be leading me to share truth with this person because I'm scared to do so. If God was leading me to do it, then I would feel bolder and I wouldn't have this fear. But I'm thinking about it, and I think that it could be just like God to lead us through situations that feel uncomfortable to us. And so I might be putting a limit as to what God can do in and through me. I wanted to ask, when those feelings of fear come as far as sharing the truth with others, what do we do about that?
Well, if there's an opportunity there, I think you just step out regardless of the fear that may be in your heart. Courage isn't an absence of fear. It isn't an absence of those things. It's action in spite of it. So sometimes we just have to step out and say, hey, this person needs Jesus. I'm going to tell them about Jesus, and to realize that's the most loving thing that you can do. And you leave the results in God's hands. A lot of times our fear is based on the results that we think are going to happen, how this person is going to respond. And so we let that results-based thinking put fear in our hearts and rob us of that joy of just having a conversation. So oftentimes we just have to say, Lord, I'm scared to death. But I think this guy needs to hear about you. I'm just going to step out and open my mouth and see what happens. I'm going to leave the results in your hands. So courage is not the absence of fear. I think a lot of people, as they encounter certain situations in life, they do so just petrified on the inside. I think entertainers are often petrified before they go on stage, but yet they go on stage and they stand and deliver. And as they start to do what they've been equipped to do, that fear dissipates and courage kind of rises up within them. So I think we just have to take a step of faith. The second thing I would say to you, Chris, is, you know, Christianity prides itself on being concerned with the souls of men. And I think if that's true, and it is true, that we're interested in the souls of men, we need to find out what's going on in the souls of men. And I think as we approach people from that perspective, that we want to make a heart connection, basically. We want to find out what's really going on inside of them. I think in the course of that conversation, that's going to open up the door, the windows just wide as they can be for an easy entry into sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So find out what's going on in a person's soul, in a person's heart, what they're struggling with. And, you know, identify with that, and then that will give you the opportunity to share the Lord.
Yeah, when I was younger,
yeah, that's some good stuff.
When I was younger, I was Mr. Timidity. And you'd think, listening to me talk on a radio program, that, oh, man, he must be the boldest guy out there. And it's nothing of the sort. What I had to learn was just what Bob was talking about. This is about relationship. God very rarely asks us to cold call somebody, to walk up to somebody on the street you've never met and ask them a question. But what he does ask us all the time to do is to get to know someone. And in the normal sense of the conversation, you begin to find out what's really going on in their lives, and then you can speak to those situations in Christ and about him. It becomes a much easier situation. We always think it's, you know, you just got to run down the street and tackle everybody you see, and that's nothing like that at all. It is about relationship, even new relationships, but it's still a relationship. And I mean, Jesus promised the Spirit will give us the words we need to say if we'll just walk by faith. And it works. I can tell you it works.
Yeah. And Bob, you really nailed it when you talked about the results-oriented thinking, because I'm so good at projecting what's going to happen in a given conversation. Like, oh, if I were to do it, if I was to share truth with someone, oh, they would reject it. They'd get mad. And then God's like, oh, I wasn't leading you to share truth with that person. Why'd you do that? And I can see it, even though it's not real. So, and I am afraid of offending people unnecessarily, but I do think that, you know, you look at in the book of Acts, God gave people boldness when it was needed. And, it's just tough when those feelings are stirring, you know?
Here's the deal. People out in the world are looking for people. They want to see people. They want to encounter people that have some convictions. And maybe they won't agree with you. Maybe they won't buy into what you're saying, but they'll walk away and say, that guy knows who he is and knows what he believes. And so, you know, we're kind of fearful. We don't want to ruffle feathers. And boy, when you speak out, when you just lay it out there for what it is, somebody may not agree with you, but they're going to be thankful that you shared what was on your heart. So realize that the world is looking for people who will stand up, who have some backbone. And again, you know, you can stand up and have some backbone and still be scared to death,
yes,
you know, deep in your heart, but you stand up and you deliver anyway. And boy, people will walk away from that and say, thank you. Thank you for holding to your convictions.
Good stuff, guys.
Thanks.
As always, thank you so much for making yourselves available and for making the good news known every day. Love you guys. Have a good rest of your day.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, 844-322-2742. We have open lines, time on the clock, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Samuel listening to us in Connecticut. Hey, Samuel.
Hello, everyone. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well, and I thank God that I actually was able to call you guys this time and quickly share some words of thanks, because you know how life goes. You get trapped with daily things and get distracted, and you never get to do something like that. I mean, I'm sure you guys already know how thankful I am for the ministry, but I wanted to take some quick minutes just to quickly call the broadcast and say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you again, because you know, one thing I've learned, gentlemen, is that when it comes to sharing the gospel, it's not rather, you know, a something like I'm right, you wrong kind of deal. It's pretty much just sharing your joy. And you know, someone doesn't agree with that, well, that's the problem.
So, yeah, that's right. That's right. So many believers have, you know, have kind of missed the joy of the Lord. They've mixed messages. They're trying to gut it out for Jesus. And so their message to those they're trying to win over is, you know, come and be miserable like me. And they wonder why folks aren't coming to Christ as a result of their efforts in their lives. But we need to capture that joy, and we do so just as we learn about the love of God, and as we learn and take our stand in the love of God and really rest in it and live in it. And boy, that joy starts to flood our souls. Amen. And as it does, you just can't help but communicate that. You can't help but share that good news with somebody else, and then it's a message of come and experience the joy of the Lord as you receive His life. It's the only way to be fully human. And boy, when you're experiencing that full humanness through faith in Jesus Christ, the joy is evident. People can see it, and it's inviting to them. It's alluring to them. Samuel, I appreciate you saying that. I really, really do. Thanks.
I'm very glad the way you put it, because, you know, the humanness aspect of it, because I got to tell you, I mean, from the way I was raised in church and everything, if there's one thing that I was prohibited from doing is being human. So when I try to not be myself, and people, of course, you know, try to applaud that and praise me for that, but then, you know, until I leave church, that's when I get to breathe in a sense. But you're right. You're certainly right. Being human is hallelujah, is what the gospel teaches us, that, you know, we can be human. It's not, oh, my Lord.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, it's like Ian Thomas gave this illustration. You can have a beautiful car, the most luxurious car, but if it doesn't have gas in it, it's not going to function like a car. So it has to have the gas in it to be a car in the way the engineers designed it. And so for us to be fully human, we have to have God in us. And that's what this gospel message does. Jesus Christ comes to live in us by the person of the Holy Spirit. So because Christ is in us, we have the source of life flowing through us, then we're going to flourish as human beings. We're going to become and be and live out what God designed us to be. As lost people, we didn't have that opportunity to be fully human. Now in Christ, we have that opportunity to really experience life as God designed it to be experienced.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It's good news, isn't it?
I'm going to ask you guys, it is good news. It's the best news, period. As Paul said, there's no other good news beyond that. I'm going to ask you a quick question. A friend of mine, I would say acquaintance on Facebook, he of course, is a great follower of Andrew Farley, and I can tell you I love Andrew Farley. And, you know, all of you guys out there, there are things, you know, it's kind of like there's one thing like you, Bob, would say, one thing Richard would say, one thing Bob Davis would say, one thing Andrew would say. That just captivates me. And whenever I think of Andrew or any of you, I remember what you said. And it's kind of like, oh, thank God he said this. And that kind of like unlocked this new freshness, I would say, of the gospel to me that I, you know, something I never knew about. But let me share this really quick with you. And he puts his, he said, Moses led us to death and cry, and Jesus led us to life. Of course, you know, you could say there's some truth to that. But when I read it, it's almost like I didn't see it as being somewhat appreciative of Moses to say, because, you know, the gospel is not telling us to get rid of Moses as in saying, you know, Moses is bad and this and that. As a matter of fact, Moses said the prophet is coming. Listen to him. In other words, kind of like when John was saying, you know, someone comes after me. So when I saw his post, I was like, oh, hold on now. I don't think that's what Andrew is trying to.
Well, the idea is that the law judges, condemns, and as Paul wrote, is a ministry of death. Yeah. That's where it leaves us. There's nothing more that it can do for us. Moses, you know, Moses is just simply, he was the mediator between God and man as far as that old covenant was concerned. So he met on the mountain with God. He brought down the covenant to the people. He said, this is it. And they said, we'll do everything that the Lord has said. So there was kind of an agreement. Moses shed blood. He sprinkled that blood, and in doing so, ratified that old covenant. But it's the old covenant that judges us. It's the old covenant that condemns us. So Moses was, you know, as the writer of Hebrews says, Moses was a servant in the house. That law had a service to the people of God in identifying our real need. Once that service, once that purpose was fulfilled, it gave way to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We were already dead spiritually. We came into the world dead spiritually. The law, God used it to show us that condition. And so if we ever had an idea or a thought that we could be made righteous through obedience to the law, then the law gets rid of every such notion, because it says that you have to keep it externally and internally. So it just leaves us in that condition of death. We see it for what it is, and we realize if we're going to be made alive, we're going to have to turn to Christ Jesus. So it's the law that judges, the law that condemns, it's the law that kills, but it's the Spirit that gives life.
Amen.
Well, Samuel, we're out of time. We sure appreciate your call, my friend. Always good to hear from you.
Yeah, appreciate the word, Samuel. Very, very encouraging, and we appreciate hearing from you. We appreciate hearing from all of you, our listeners, and if you would like to call 844-322-2742, you can do that anytime, 24 hours a day. There you can pose your question, and we'll play it back in your voice, or you can make a donation to help Basic Gospel. You know, in his book, Cold Case Christianity, J. Walter Wallace, an L.A. County detective, uses his nationally recognized skills as a homicide detective to look at the evidence and eyewitnesses behind Christian faith. You know, Christianity could literally be defined as a cold case because it makes a claim about an event from the past, from the distant past, for which there's little forensic evidence. Cold Case Christianity taps into the interest, the intense interest, as a matter of fact, in detective stories. It inspires and prepares readers to have confidence in Christ and to articulate the case of Christianity. A copy of Cold Case Christianity is our way of saying thank you for standing with us with your support of Basic Gospel. All you need to do is click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy of Cold Case Christianity. You can also use that phone number, 844-322-2742. It's available 24 hours a day. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or 844-322-2742. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.